Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence, for your word and for the safety that we have in getting here. Lord, there are only a few of us here tonight, and I pray you, Lord, please, that you'd bless our time around your word. I also pray, Lord, for Lincoln Frank and Dr. Shang, for Will, for David, for Christy and Taylor, for Colin and Charlotte, for Pat and Steve, and Lord, for Esther as well. Lord, we're well done. I pray you, please, that you would just protect them, Father, cleanse, refresh, forgive, and Lord, prepare to meet the day. I pray especially for Steve at this time and his health issues, Esther too. And Lord, that you just be with us. We love you and thank you. Pray, Lord, for your will to be done. And thank you for all that you've done for us. Amen. Amen. Right, go to the week like first. We're dependent on you now, Norman. You have to make up the rest of us. The rest of the singing tonight. Number 12. Number 12. Oh, you have to play that one. Number 12. Are you okay to do that?
I should be able to. I think I can even.
Going to do the music for it, but there is no number beside it, so. That was after you, Sam, asking me if I needed you to play anything.
I wasn't going to say.
My name. Okay, Norman, you want to bring us the Bible reading? We'll skip straight for that. Or after one song, do it anyway. I catch you in the hop of it. Steve's not here, he'll never know. You can read anything. I wouldn't even know because I don't remember what chapter he sent on the text.
Think you got it?
Oh, do you not?
This Bible I had in the car, and I had the other Bible that has Mark. And
oh, give me a sec.
And I did practice it, and I can't.
Honest Gov.
Eh?
Honest Gov.
Is it Titus?
Titus 3.
Titus 3. I knew that was it. I couldn't be sure.
Thanks, Norm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Saviour toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second abomination, reject, knowing that he that is such is subserved and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee to Thyasis, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Steve tried to slip a few tricky names.
Yeah, it's a nice wee pick, sharp one.
I was looking at, I think Luke, is it Luke chapter 1? Like, has about 75 generations, 75 names on it.
Is that not Matthew
1? Oh, I think that's Luke as well. I was just reading it all day today. Better check that up and get for the Bible. The pastor got it wrong and put people the wrong direction. But
look at the minute. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, Luke chapter 3 it is.
Oh, okay.
Luke chapter 3. Right, as regards announcements, have you anything, Norman? Anything in particular? Just private prayer requests?
Yeah, still there.
Okay. Pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. They'll be travelling until this weekend. Pray for Will as well, and Charlotte and Colin. Don't forget Leonard up in Milesium Forum in Manor, up in Microfeld.
Christy and Taylor. Christy's supposed to be back in about 2 weeks' time. Please do pray for that and their paperwork and one thing and another. Pray for Esther too. She's not keeping 100%, and we know that Steve's not very well at all. I'm actually bringing him to the doctor's tomorrow about 11 o'clock for a blood test. So please do pray for him. And an opportunity to speak to his daughter and granddaughter, Sam and Louise. We've heard their names mentioned many times. Please do pray for them. As Monica's already mentioned, there are a number of older gentlemen in the States. They're not that much older. They're only in their 70s or early 70s that have taken very ill and even passed away with complications to COVID and whatever else they had going on. Please do pray for the families of those men, and please also, if you would, bear in mind, pray for James Spears. He is in hospital with stroke. He's just not doing 100%, and we appreciate your prayers for him. Also, I was talking to an old friend today, and she was telling me her dad got a hip replacement. And but it didn't take very well. Well, let me put it another way. He didn't do the physio for it afterwards, and he's pretty much stuck now. I think whatever happened to him in his mind, he's just it beat him. So he's not in a good way. And I was telling her about your experience with Lithuania and how they no sooner stitched you up until they had you out touching your toes and doing the splits and one thing and another. And I know it wasn't quite that, but it certainly sounded like it. But they really did. They did a marvelous job. So please do pray for Gordon Ramsay. That's his name, Gordon Ramsay. That's her dad. Her mum was in for cancer treatment at the same time as Billy. And she's still about, Edith. Tumors. She has some tumors, but they have not increased in size the past wee while. So, still has her mom and dad, and that's Leanne, Edith, and Gordon. They all need to get saved, so please do pray for that for me.
Edith is still on the cancer section.
Okay, well, she's there then. Other than that, I can't really think of anything. Is there anything else we need to be thinking about? Work in the church. Going to visit my dad. Thankful that the operation went well, the surgery, and he's at home. I was speaking to him earlier on, and he was giving a bit of moral support to another wee lady who was going in for her first one. And he said, "It's great. There's no bother at all." As he was going in for number two and clapping his hands. And I don't think I've ever... Even though I had to get that surgery and get my gallbladder out, I knew it was going to save my life. I was not looking forward to it one little bit. But Dad was definitely looking forward to getting his other eye sorted out. So please do pray for him. He's not allowed to drive for so long and has to put drops in for the next couple of weeks as well. Please do pray for him. I think that's about that, isn't it? Nothing else you can think of, Norma? Please do pray for Steve. This is he's been... been out of commission for a long time, and I know he likes getting in church and he does enjoy a bit of fellowship, so please do pray for him. We'll have that a wee word of prayer now, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for this opportunity, Lord. I know we have quite literally a shopping list of people that are not well, Lord, and people that really that are out and about, and they're not in church tonight, and they're traveling, they're visiting, whatever it is, Lord, I pray for your good hand upon them. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen, convict, comfort, give portions of wisdom, Lord, just deliver them their needs this day. And for all those that are sick, I pray, Lord, for lifting up for them. For those that have stepped off into eternity, Lord, I pray, Father, for comfort and support for their families and those loved ones left behind. Thank you, Lord, for getting my dad through the surgery. I do pray especially for the Ramsay family at this time, with the cancer and the hip replacement and all those things that's going on. And Lord, you know what we need, and especially in these days. I pray you please, Lord, for a great conviction and a great opposition to devilment and wickedness, especially in high places, Lord. Please, I pray. Please save souls, Lord. Please edify and encourage and inspire the saints, your children. And Lord, deliver us this day our daily bread. Bless us, Lord, as we continue on. Just ask this all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, let's sing another song. We'll do number five. Number five, the wee black books, The Lord's My Shepherd. Number 16, I'm going to read three or four of these verses here. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 16. As you know, the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah called the weeping prophet. One of the reasons why the people thought that the Lord was Jeremiah, because he had such passion and care and love for the Jewish people. And he kept warning them about sin and judgment to come. And this is exactly what Jeremiah was doing. And he passed on these words from the Lord, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying,
hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Amen. That is our Bible reading. We're going to be scooting very quickly through the whole of this chapter and just see exactly what the Lord had planned and the options that he gave his people. But just a wee Bible study in Jeremiah chapter 6 tonight. So another wee word of prayer and then we'll get going. Lord, please work in our hearts and minds this evening, and the hearts and minds of those that eventually get to hear this message on CD or on the internet. And I pray you please, especially for those that do, for Esther, for Alan, for Pearl. Lord, for anybody that clicks on it, I pray that this would be a help and a warning, Lord, and an encouragement. Father, we really thank you for preserving us, for preserving your word, Lord. And I pray, Father, for the words and the inspiration as we take this time to read and study just a verse at a time through these words that you have divinely preserved for us these thousands of years. We just love you and thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you go back to the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 6, and take a moment or two, as we do, just to have a wee read at these. And it says, the first thing is, O ye children of Benjamin, that's this is the way God views his people. He says, I have likened ye, the daughter of Zion, to a comely and delicate woman. And there are many instances in the Word of God where we are called the bride of Christ. That's nothing to do with the transgender movement. That's nothing to do with men acting like women, although there's plenty of those in the world today. It is quite literally the way that God views us. We are going to be made one with Jesus Christ, just like a man and a woman are made one whenever they get married together. And this is what the Lord has always wanted for us, to have, not to have us under his control, but under his protection, to be able to provide for us and to give us assurance and to give us our food, etc., in due season. And this is what God says about this woman, that he has prepared the way for and done literally everything divinely possible to give them everything in the world, victory, plenty, wisdom, you name it, God has provided. Still, she has played the harlot, and she has worshipped other gods, as we were reading there. They have rejected. They have rejected the word of God. They have forsaken him. They have wanted to be like the other people around about. And so God says, trouble's coming. Trouble is coming. For anyone that will listen to me, you make sure that you're not here. Run. He just says, literally, run. Trouble's coming to Jerusalem. He said, instead of warning you, and I've been warning you for generations, get into church, get on your hands and knees, read your Bible. It wasn't quite that in back in the day. It would have been get into the synagogue, say your prayers, and make sure you've memorized your Bible verses, because everybody didn't have a copy of the Bible back then. Instead of people doing that, instead of people obeying the Lord that had at this point delivered them from goodness from the flood, delivered Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, delivered all of the children of Israel from Egypt, done so many miracles and fed them for 40 years in the wilderness and made sure their clothes and their shoes never wore out, left up a signpost so that the kids could say, well, why are those stones all standing there, so that the adults could tell the children this, that, and the other? They just forgot about it. Instead of going to church, instead of taking time out and making God real, instead of leaning on God and seeing that he's as good as his word, they just did what everybody else was doing because they didn't want to feel out of place. And as a result of that, they became like the people that God displaced to give them the land. And God said, well, if that's the way it is, I'm just going to treat you like those people. You'll be outside of my protection. I will bring hurt and destruction upon you. In fact, in verses number 9, he says, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Jerusalem. Now, what that actually means is that they'll not leave anything. The gleanings was the little bit of grapes or barley or wheat or corn or whatever that God commanded landowners to leave so that the poor could go through the crops and gather enough for themselves to keep them alive. God said, there's not going to be any of that left in Jerusalem. He said, no matter what I say, no matter who I send, the people don't want to hear. Their ears are uncircumcised, it says in verse number 10. In fact, it even goes, it's worse than that. Not only do they pursue sin, they delight in sin. And you might think, well, how could they? It's really very simple. God had been so good to them for so long, and the blessings of God had lasted from so many generations to so many generations in spite of their behavior, but they had just taken it for granted that this was their position in the universe and didn't realize that it could change very, very quickly. If we were to take and read in Romans chapter 1, we would read something similar about our current, in quotes, sexual revolution that is going on, that not only do people commit sin, they delight in it. They rejoice in it. It's normal for them. Verse number 11 tells us the way that God looks at the way the children of Israel behave. He says, I'm full of fury and annoyed. And the Word of God warns us many times about provoking the Lord to wrath or tempting the Lord. Don't. It says, lest ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled a little. Because we are, the Bible says many times, it refers to us as sheep, it refers to us as children, it refers to us as grass. Things that are temporary, that are little, that are weak, and that can quite literally be gone in a moment. The Lord said, all the things that I gave you, the land, the assurance, the security, place to build your homes, flocks, all of those things will be gone. Somebody else will have them because you rejected me. You've been dealing falsely. And it all comes down, the special food group that's mentioned, but the special society group that's mentioned is preachers, priests. They have no compunction about lying and cheating and spinning the yarn from the pulpit. So the Lord says, why won't you yourselves make a point of visiting the old paths, of looking for doing things the old-fashioned way, of being truthful and honest, observing the commandments, treating people right? By the time we get to the book of Jeremiah, the first 5 books of the Bible have been written, the Pentateuch, which is the books of the law, arrangements on how you should treat people and look after other people's stuff as well as your own family. But they don't want it. They want to be like everybody else. I was actually just thinking about how people are today, and most people, if you were to go ask a young person in their 20s, someone that's working a job, has a few pounds to spend, and ask them for the loan of a drill, they probably wouldn't have one. They'd have enough money to buy a new shirt or a new dress to go out of a night. They could spend £100 at the weekend, but they wouldn't have a drill or a couple of screwdrivers or anything like that about the house, because their whole raison d'etre is thrills and fun and sensation. It's not about helping themselves or helping other people. God said, when you're behaving like that, I'm going to tell you something that's not going to work. The Catholic Church behaves a bit like this. They don't say it overtly, but they quite literally teach that you can do whatever you want as long as you turn up in chapel and go to confession and tell God your sins, and then you can go out and do it again because you'll be all cleaned up and ready to go. God says, I don't care about any of that stuff. In fact, he says in verse 20, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices are not sweet unto me anymore. In other words, I will not accept them. This is what God said to his people, and it sounds rough, but this is actually to save them. I am going to put obstacles in your way. I'm going to do my best to stop you. I'm going to send people to sort you out, teach you a lesson. Talks about people coming from the north country, a cruel and a hard people that have no mercy. And they were going to come and sort the country out. They were going to be used like a king. Just like the way that the Lord did many, many times. See the way he used the Egyptians to comfort and to nourish the children of Israel, and they grew from 70 souls to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands over the space of 400 years. And after the Lord was done with them and Egypt started treating them badly, what happened? He utterly destroyed them. The last thing that he destroyed was their army, their force of arms in the Red Sea. But even for all that, the Lord says, you can still repent. You can still change your ways. There might be tough times come upon you, but you can still change your ways. You can still make it good. If you want to. If you want to. And I got to thinking about that. And I was wondering, you know, why, even after all the grievous warnings, the warnings have gone from warnings to promises. This is going to happen, and these are the consequences. Why would you not take God at his word after all the things that God has done? And I got to thinking that maybe it's because there's so many people in the world have seen so little of God. And they're blinded and their minds are filled with so much wickedness that there's really not a place in their hearts and minds for them to consider God. They don't understand. Excuse me. But even with people like that, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, and the Lord said, it doesn't matter what you did. If you repent, you'll be washed, sanctified, and justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we repent, our souls are saved, and then we repent of bad behavior and bad habits, in other words, turn away from them. There is always an out with God, no matter who you are. You may have to face consequences for the things that you did in this world, but there's always an out for you in the next one, and maybe even in this one too. But as I was reading that, I got to thinking about Derry. Good old Derry. Probably a bit of Belfast and a lot of Portadown as well. And the shape of a lot of, even in the UK, the shape of a lot of our cities in this day and age. Here's a description. Verse number 7 says, as a fountain casteth out her waters, so she, that's Jerusalem, casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. And that's quite literally the way pretty much every major city and many of the not so major cities behave right now. There's a lot to be said for simple country life away from the hustle and bustle. Because when people get together, unless they make a supreme effort of will, and sometimes a bit of muscle as well, it's devilment that they get up to. The way young people would think nothing of going and squandering their money on drinking, and thinking that if they remember what they did, they didn't have a good time. Spent the night in a stranger's bed, have taken some drugs whenever they're out, who knows? And they think this is normal. You don't realize that many of them become murderers, marked for until the day they die as the taker of a life whenever they have to get rid of an unwanted child. Or even kill somebody themselves, driving home under the influence of drugs or alcohol. They think nothing of cursing and damning people with the name that's supposed to be the saviour of whosoever will. They will lie and cheat and steal as long anything they will do. There's no limit to the depths that people will descend to to save their own skin and to make sure they're having a good time. These, although Jeremiah writes these notes, these things down that God is speaking to him about Jerusalem well over 2,000 years ago, nearly 3,000 years ago, it's just exactly the same today, and it's probably even worse. There are old paths, but even many Christians don't bother with them. We don't approach God and say, well, God, what do you want me to do? Instead of us going to God and crying out like children at Christmas for what presents we want, I wonder how many parents would, eyebrows would go up if their children came up to them at Christmas and said, Mom, I tell you what, we'll wash the dishes for you after the Christmas dinner. We'll do that for you to make Christmas a bit of a rest for you. That doesn't happen. Because most folks are so into themselves, they can't see anybody else. As I was writing this down, I got to thinking about the Titanic. You know the boat? I heard a fellow walking past the cinema one time and he started shouting to everybody, it sinks, it sinks! Ruining the end of the movie. But I got to thinking about how most people in this world are like people on a boat that is doomed to sink and take everybody with them to the bottom of the sea that doesn't get off. And the way people are right now, they have made standing in ankle-deep water fashionable and desirable. And in maybe a little while, they'll be standing knee-deep in water and they will still be telling everybody how wonderful the water is and how you're nobody unless you're knee-deep in water. And soon they'll be waist deep, and then they'll be neck deep, and then it'll be far too late. And most people, including Christians, are afraid to say anything in case they get called fuddy-duddies. Any time that God has ever dealt with people, this is what he said, you need to get back to the old ways, the way it was in the beginning. That doesn't mean we run around with no clothes on like Adam and Eve. But it does mean that we need to spend time walking and talking with God. Whether it's in the cool of the evening, whether it's in the cool of the morning, or in the heat of the day, that's what we need is the old paths. If we were to look in Revelation chapter 2, there's a church in Ephesus. And they were looking the part and sounding the part, but the Bible says that the Lord said, I have something with you. You've left your first love. You've forgotten about me. You're doing all the things I told you to do, but you've forgotten about me. You've forgotten to preach salvation. You've forgotten to preach the maintaining of your Christian life. We need the old paths. We need the old stories, the old parables. We need the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need every single thing that God has. Because if we don't, there's no saving. There's no salvation outside of the Word of God. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're done. That message is only contained in the Word of God, Old Testament and New. And we really do need that, not just us, but everybody around and about us. In Romans chapter 10, it gives us, I'm not going to embarrass myself by getting it wrong, but I am going to read it to you. Acts Romans. Romans chapter 10. If I can just get that. There we go. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, we need to show people what it is to believe in God. We need to show people the difference it makes to believe in God. And whether that's easy or difficult, sadly, the times that people are most open to being spoken to in behalf of God is times of extreme loss. Financial loss, loss of comfort, loss of home, loss of loved ones. And we need to show people that when God has his arm around you and his hand upon you, you can do anything. You can accept a loss knowing that you will see a loved one again. And you can go on in this life.
because God will keep you. It's really, really important that people get to hear and get to see. And sadly, the only Bible most folks will ever see or hear is you and me. So as we go, let us remember, don't just try to be your best Christian whenever difficulty comes, but start today being the best Christian. Start it with a wee word of prayer or a few verses of scripture. Start it with a good, decent breakfast so you're not getting lightheaded and cranky, because that's the very time the old devil will try it on with you. Start your day properly. And remember to be instant and in season and out of season, always ready to give a reason for the hope that dwells within you. Because God does love you. He loves each one of us. And he wants each one of us saved. That also means those gulpins that annoy the life out of you, and those gulpins that are running this country, and the gulpins that are making all of these laws to stop churches and people from living their lives, the Lord loves them too. Sometimes that means we might have to bite our tongues and not wring their necks. But we need to be the best, the King James version of the Bible that people see and hear. And don't ever be afraid to explain to people. I got a couple of chances to talk to folks. I was talking to a porter today walking out of the hospital. There's like 500 or 600 yards of corridor that leads from the free car park entrance right the way through the hospital to the New North Lane. And I was saying hello to folks, and people were grumping away and diverting their eyes. Some were saying hello, and I said, you know what, it's nice to be walking through the hospital instead of walking around the hospital. And I got the chance to talk to him about all that the Lord had done for me. And another builder, similarly, take every opportunity and make the most of it. People need to know that God's still working out in the world there. Anyway. Used to say the devil was the best kept secret in the world. I think God's the best kept secret in the world now. It's not what came to be. Came to seek and to save every single person in this world. Stopping there, thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's sing another song and then we'll be done. Do you have one that you'd want for us to sing tonight, Norma? Nope. Black Book.
Number 3
is good. All people that on earth do dwell. We'll stand as we sing this one.
Joy.
Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word, for this building, for all the effort that has gone into being here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for your precious promise that wherever two or three are gathered together, in your name, you'll be there in the midst. Covet your company this evening, Father. And I pray, Lord, don't be done with us. Be with our absent friends and brethren. Please save lost souls. Thank you for the good news about Andy, Lord, and his way out of the hospital. Please put your hand upon Kate Cairns, Lord, and speak to her as well, I pray. Save her soul. Lord, bless us as we part company. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please cleanse us and refresh us as we go. We ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.